Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, August 24th, 2009 Board of Aldermen meeting for the town of Carrboro. Before we begin our regularly printed agenda, I would ask whether there's anybody who came tonight to speak on a matter that's not already on our agenda. All right, hearing none. You have a consent agenda item you want to talk about? Okay. Which item is that? Do you know the number? Or? Okay. That's item C4. Okay. We're going to move on to the consent agenda. That will probably be pulled, so you can comment on it. We'll vote on the rest of the consent agenda and come to that. Mr. Manager, consent agenda.
Item 1 is approval of the minutes of meetings of June 16th and August 6th. Item 2 is a request to amend the policy of posting advisory board applications on the town's website. Item 3 is a request to make an appointment to the Transportation Advisory Board. Item 4 is an ordinance amending Chapter 10, Article 3, Livestock and Wild Animals of the Town Code. Item 5 is a resolution approving an updated rotation record policy application and agreement. Item 6 is a resolution designating a local official to make recommendations to the North Carolina Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission on ABC permit applications. Item 7 is a resolution canceling the September 15th meeting of the board. Item 8 is a resolution recommending an appointment to the Orange County Economic Development Commission. And item 9 is a resolution in support of the administration's health care reform principles.
Okay. Jackie?
I'd like to pull 2.
Item 2? Lydia?
Yeah, I just had a quick question about item 5.
Item 5, and I want to suggest a change to item 4. So is there a motion for 136789?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for those. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. Item 2, request to amend policy of posting advisory board applications on the town's website.
I would just like for the public for you to clarify that, because if you only read the title, it sounds like the application won't be on the website, when what it really is that the completed applications from all the applicants won't be on the website with our packet. And part of that reason is people's privacy. They don't want their email addresses and backgrounds necessarily up there. So it's not that the applications, the blank applications will still be posted. It's that the filled out ones won't.
Yeah, that's a good clarification. We've had several requests of folks who didn't want that information on the website, and so we thought the best thing to do was to ask you all if you're okay with getting that information in your packets but simply not posting it.
Mr. Manager, that application nonetheless would be a public record.
It would be.
So somebody who, if somebody wanted to peruse, had like some kind of bona fide reason and wanted to come down, or potentially not even bona fide reason, wanted to come down town hall and look at the clerk's office.
They just say we want to see it, and I believe, Sarah, we're putting a note on the application to that effect that it would be a public record.
Right. And somebody could request copies of it if they preferred to have copies rather than view them. All right. Just want to be clear that the information will still be available to the public, but just not quite so publicly put on display. All right. Is there a motion then on item number 2?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Okay. Number 4, an ordinance amending Chapter 10, Article 3, Livestock and Wild Animals of the Town Code. Sharon Cook had requested to be heard. Okay. Whichever order.
Thank you, board members, for the opportunity to speak tonight on the ordinance. I just was handed a copy of it on Monday and took a look at it, and I'm here tonight not to try to convince you that urban livestock farming shouldn't be introduced. You've already made that decision. I think you should know that based on my years when I grew up on a farm raising livestock, and with my scientific knowledge that I've gained since then of animal disease, I think that's a mistake, but I'm here tonight to focus on the proposed amendment because it's really inadequate and doesn't protect public health. As I said, as somebody who's raised animals, and I've attended 4-H club meetings, I've attended FFA meetings, I've talked to farm vet ceaseless times, and I can remember about animal disease and vaccinations, I just don't think that this amendment gets a passing grade. I think it gets an F for failing to protect public health. Farm animals, now they definitely appear cute, but they harbor disease. Some disease they give humans, some disease they get from humans. Diseases like pneumonia, influenza. The formal word is zoonosis, and it's a great word for you Scrabble players because you can cap a zoo and get a whole bunch of points for it. Mapleview Farms no longer allows tours of their cow herd, and there's a reason for that. I don't know if you remember, I guess it was in the past 10 years, they finally did something about the petting zoos at the state fair because kids were getting hemolytic E. coli infections from petting zoos. Animals have to be taken care of properly. I think that we shouldn't cloud the facts when it comes to public health. There was a letter in the paper recently in which it talked about how avian flu really isn't that much of a problem and really doesn't cross over into humans. And I have to correct the record on that one for you guys. I'll leave with the clerk an excerpt from the Center for Disease Control on how that is a real problem. And I'll leave one on how Hong Kong, which is actually a major metropolis with a huge poultry flock population, has the problems they're undergoing with avian flu and transmissibility to humans. And that's a good example of, quite frankly, where I'm going with this and why I think the amendment should be pulled and should be looked at again. I think that we allow cats and dogs in and we have fees for them. And I'm just thinking in my mind, why don't we have fees if we're going to allow farm animals in? And what are those fees for? Those fees are for administering to make sure that the animals that you're going to let in are properly certified as being vaccinated and free from disease. You know, if you're out in the country and you have poultry, you get them vaccinated. And you don't get them vaccinated against just one disease. I won't bother to read you the list. But it's a handful of diseases that you get them vaccinated against. Same thing with goats. This ordinance has to do with goats. Goats get rabies. Goats get pneumonia. Goats get tetanus. These are all things that should be vaccinated against, particularly if you're going to bring them into an urban setting where their contact with humans is going to be much greater than in a rural setting. I think these are all items that should be looked at in terms of an amendment and stuck into an amendment. And while we're talking about having an urban barnyard, I think you ought to have an amendment that looks at public health and chickens. Again, I don't agree with the decision to let chickens into an urban setting. I don't think a neighbor's chicken coop makes a good partner to my backyard. But that's not my decision.
You're talking about you disagree with the decision the Board of Aldermen made in 1981 or so?
Yeah, I think that we have progressed. Okay. We've progressed into small-town urbanism. That's what I understand we're headed for, densities
of five stories. I'm just trying to clarify what it is you disagree with.
What I disagree with is the fact that if you're going to have chickens, again, we should have regulation of the chickens. They should be certified to
What do you
be,
mean, again? But there's no change proposed here to any rules about chickens.
We've no, I think we should. Oh, I understand where you're coming from. Yes, I think we should have an amendment for chickens. That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Is if we're going to, and I think it's a good idea to have an amendment, if you're going to have an amendment on goats, to have it deal with public health and safety. I think it's a good idea as well to get more clarification, if you're going to do it for goats, to do it for chickens. It's not in front of you, but I think if you're going to task the staff to do something about the goat ordinance to give it more body, that you could do the same for chickens as well, because some of the similar issues they would be looking at. So, for example, vaccinations. I don't know whether you have the authority to put a fee on these animals or not. If you don't, I would say ask for it, because it would help offset the cost for running this kind of program through your animal control group. And you know, one of the issues that I would look at is the fact that if you're going to have chicken flocks, it's not a comfortable subject, but it's something to be looked at for your staff. The term henpecked is in our lexicon and vocabulary. In reality, it is a form of cannibalism that chickens practice. And again, in the country, if you have large flocks, and I understand people have dozens of chickens in Carrboro, they actually will cauterize the beaks to get rid of the pecking phenomenon. Because what happens is, literally, the bird in the lowest social order of the flock gets pecked by every other bird. And if you've ever seen a chicken that's been pecked to death, it's not a pretty sight. Something more for your staff to consider as they get into the urban barnyard. So, I would ask you to not make a decision on that amendment and to task the staff to look at these issues and see what they can come up with. I appreciate your time.
You remarked that visitors are not allowed to go into Mapleview Farms. Is that to protect us from getting a disease from the cows?
It's both. It goes both ways.
No, it's only one way, Brian. They're worried that we will give diseases to the cows.
If you want to believe that, that's your belief.
Okay.
Okay? What disease do you believe that they're protecting against?
I think they're concerned about the possibility of people coming from Europe and bringing cattle diseases in and infecting their cattle.
You're talking about CJD, mad cow disease, bovine spongiform.
No.
Well, that's the disease.
Well, that's not a readily communicable disease.
It's excellent product for the staff to consider.
What is your scientific background again?
Biochemistry.
I see.
Yes, and I work in the field of biomedicine as well.
Excellent.
In diagnostics for including animal disease.
Thanks for clarifying.
Good evening, Mayor Chilton and board members. I hope that you all had a very nice summer recess.
Not long enough.
Chapel Hill Council, they don't start until, the middle of September? But anyway, in regard to the proposed changes to Carrboro's Livestock and Wild Animals Ordinance, I'm especially concerned about the timing of this proposal. As you know, this issue was heard by the board on June 16th as one of the last matters for consideration just prior to your summer recess and after our community schools had gone on summer recess. Many Carrboro families and community members were leaving or preparing to leave with summer plans. This is the character of the Carrboro community. Today, of course, was the first day of school for public school students, teachers, and administrators from kindergarten through university level study. As such, I do not believe that the majority of Carrboro's residents have had a good opportunity to consider the proposal before you tonight. I've spoken with Carrboro residents from several different neighborhoods, all of whom were unaware of this proposal, let alone knew that it might be voted on tonight. All of the residents with whom I spoke are opposed to the proposed change. And while the Carrboro Citizen has covered the issue, a quick search of the Chapel Hill News, which, as you know, is available for delivery to all Carrboro households for free, showed just one article back in April, along with a single letter to the editor, which opposed the change. I do not believe that our residents have been fully informed about this issue, nor have they had an adequate opportunity to express their opinions about this ordinance before you tonight, one that could have a direct impact upon their private property. I ask that the board postpone voting upon the proposed changes until the Carrboro community has had a reasonable opportunity to consider the ordinance through sharing public information in local media over the next 2 weeks. While pushing this ordinance through tonight may be legal, to do so does not serve the greater Carrboro community. Should the board decide to adopt an ordinance tonight, I recommend that the ordinance be changed to follow the ordinances of our nearby towns and require a minimum of 1 acre for the keeping of a limited number of livestock animals out of consideration for neighboring property owners. The proposed ordinance places the burden in the wrong place, while the proposed ordinance requires that the town administrator notify the applicant's immediate neighbors of a permit hearing. Section 2G requires that the burden of demonstrating that the administrator erred by issuance or denial of a permit shall be on the appellant. This places an undue burden upon town residents who are opposed to living next door to livestock animals. Moreover, the ordinance should require the approval of all immediate neighbors with the understanding that an immediate neighbor reserves the right to change his or her consent at any time and for any reason. Missing from the proposed ordinance is an assurance that homeowners associations will have full and final authority over whether or not to allow the provisions of whatever ordinance changes might be made to apply to their neighborhood. And finally, on June 16th, the board heard not only the request to change our town ordinance to allow farm animals on urban properties, we also heard from genuine farm owners in Carver's planning jurisdiction. Those farmers emphasized the need for caretaker apartments in order to keep up with the demands of modern-day farming. While the proposal before us tonight seeks to expand traditional farm property activities onto urban properties, there has been no discussion of the text amendment presented to the board requesting support for our local farmers in maintaining their genuine farm operations. I hope that the board will waste no more time in addressing this critical issue. And thank you for your consideration.
Sharon, could you clarify the text amendment you refer to? When was it presented?
Well, on June 16th, a text amendment that would allow small auxiliary apartments.
Steve, were we presented a text amendment?
Yes.
Do you recall on June 16th?
I don't recall seeing that.
I don't recall that. I guess we have the minutes here. I could check.
Yeah, I don't believe you were here. Somebody else was here. I didn't believe it was Sarah on June 16th.
Sarah was here.
I did leave a copy of the text
amendment. Anyone else recall a text amendment on June
16th? I don't believe we had asked for the attorney to draft anything, so unless somebody else drafted a proposed amendment, I don't think there was one. There was a discussion of the possibility of one, but Joel?
I actually have a question for the... You can
if I could interrupt you for just one second.
Okay, I just have a question from the attorney.
One question for Sharon before you go. So I noticed that your talking points track closely with an anonymous flyer that was distributed over in the Wynnewood neighborhood. Was that from you?
No, I didn't prepare any flyers, no. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think what you're probably seeing is that there is concern about this. I did speak to some people. In fact, I spoke to a woman in Wynnewood, and she's very much opposed to this. But quite frankly, the biggest problem we have in Carrboro, apathy, the belief that what she says doesn't matter and that she won't be heard. And so that concerns me, too, that I don't think that builds community when we have residents that feel that way. But no, I didn't prepare any flyers. I just had enough time to prepare this.
I just want to understand something. If we hear you but don't agree with you, does that mean we're not hearing you?
Well,
answer that question.
Well,
first.
It depends on what the issue is.
Okay.
Okay, but the point about this is that people really don't know about this. If you just kind of do a random check, you know, maybe the people that are really into politics and really keep up with reading this Carver Citizen every day, they're going to know. But the general population who are going to be impacted by this, if it's approved, I think that if you were to go to different neighborhoods, just kind of do a random thing, I think you'd find that most people you're going to run into really don't know about this
issue.
So
is it your position that all agenda items should be subject to a random survey of whether enough people are familiar with them and that without that we should not conduct business?
Well, this is a really critical one. This is one that affects property owners and who, you know,
people,
what can happen
the ordinance
to
already
right
has,
to theirs.
As you, I don't know if you don't know this or just haven't recognized it, the ordinance allows goats. It just currently specifies a certain square footage
of like 40,000 square feet.
That the person who came in requesting this change mm-hmm. didn't quite meet that. So we're making this change, but it's not like there weren't goats weren't allowed, and now they are because of this. So I guess I'm not quite hearing where you think the beef is in this change.
I think that when I talk to people and I ask them questions about it, first of all, they don't know anything about it. When then I ask
Which
them opinion about it,
true of
they tell me that that's not something that they would like to see. So.
And are these people who live in neighborhoods where there are already homeowners associations that don't
some
allow?
Some are, some aren't.
Some are, some yeah. aren't.
So I think, you know, what I tried to point out was some of the areas where I think the ordinance needs to be looked at and there's information that's missing.
And with your apartment thing, those are apartments for farm workers. Those aren't for rental for profit, right? Those are free as part of the deal as being a farm worker, right?
Well, now that's interesting because when we talked about this June 16th, I believe you and Dan pretty much asked me those same questions.
Yeah.
So do you remember that conversation?
I just want to know that you understand.
Yeah, you're bringing it up again out of context.
You're bringing it up out of context, and I want to make sure that the facts are being presented as they stand and in context.
I think that if you look at that text amendment, which I know I handed over, and referred to, and you can listen to the June 16th if you're wondering whether I did refer to it, I certainly did, that you will know that my answer to that was again.
So are you saying you filed?
This is a need. Farmers came before us. They said they have a need for caretaker apartments. This text amendment is to address that need.
Did you file a text amendment with the planning staff?
Yes. The planning staff reviewed it, and actually Trish McGuire worked with me on it to make sure that the language and everything was appropriate. Planning board reviewed it. There happened to be 11 people that night. Four people voted in favor of it.
Four out of 11,
yes. Okay.
So there wasn't a majority of the planning
staff. So that's why it never came before us.
So that's why, because of how the system works, that's why it didn't come to us.
Well, it's certainly something that you could consider, because having been at the June 16th meeting, you all got to hear the farmers, and you know their concerns. So,
yeah, we know where they come. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks, Sharon.
Okay, you're welcome.
You had a question.
Okay. Let's see, because I own a dog and have to get a rabies vaccination and pay the reduced rate because she is vaccinated. Can we have a fee for goats? Since I didn't know that goats could get rabies. So that's the only reason I'm interested.
Well, I think we're talking about two different things. One, right. there's an animal privilege tax, I believe, that you pay, and we could certainly do that. That doesn't really have anything to do with the requirement that they be get licenses and get rabies shots and all that sort of thing. So it would be possible to do both.
Okay.
Is that something we regulate or the county regulates, like rabies shots for dogs and cats?
I think that we do that, but I can check. It's been a while since I've looked at that provision of the ordinance.
It's the county.
It's the county, is it?
County.
Okay.
Yes.
I stand corrected.
It goes to Orange County.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, never mind then.
I was kind of thinking the same way Joel was. I wondered if when we did research on other ordinances when we were creating this one, if there were other samples we looked at that did require some type of rabies permit or some type of, you know, vaccination.
I honestly don't remember. I mean, we looked at a number of different ordinances, and I think the option that we sort of presented to the board was to do the sort of minimal change to the ordinance that would accommodate this particular issue, rather than engage in a wholesale revision or analysis of the animal control ordinance. And I think the direction we got from the board was, no, let's just, we have a specific issue. The ordinance has been in place for, 25, 6 years or something. We really haven't had any significant issues with it. So let's just, an issue has been brought up. Let's deal with that specific issue. So that's what we did, was drafted a fairly narrow thing that is, I think, as Dan said, it just essentially changes the amount of land that you've got to have for the goats, and we made another tweak to the make it clear that there would be at least some notification to the adjoining neighbors.
Narrow. Thanks, Mike. I'm not going to vote against this tonight. I think it's fine, but because we already have ordinances that allow goats and allow chickens and so on, but I don't think it would be a bad idea maybe to have staff look and see if there is some way to look at, if we have an increasing number of livestock in the town, is that a trend, or is that something that's happening now that those animals are being vaccinated, or kind of, just it wouldn't hurt to look at it.
I actually raised the question about vaccinations when I was talking about the size of the goats and the weight way back, and asked about vaccinations. And because the goats were already covered in the ordinance and we were only looking at the square footage, we at least at that point decided not to address that. So if that's something that, you know, we have interest in doing, I don't have a problem with staff looking into the fees or the rabies vaccinations. But for the purposes of this ordinance right now, we were looking at making the adjustment because of the square feet.
Let me just add one other just clarification, and that is that this ordinance obviously would not affect anything homeowners have. I mean, if it was a subdivision with restrictive covenants that said you can't have animals, this doesn't change any of that.
Would you repeat that, Mike?
Yeah, if there is a subdivision that has, or, you know, any other kind of covenants that affect a piece of property that says you can't have animals, or, I mean, you can't have livestock or can't, you know, engage in what this would allow from the town standpoint, that our ordinance doesn't supersede those regulations. They would still be enforceable. It doesn't change any of that.
So this is not suddenly allowing a new ordinance in the town.
That's right.
That will introduce new livestock, which has never before been allowed. It doesn't do that. And it does not supersede homeowners associations. It simply changes the square footage required for fainting goats.
That's correct.
It's not opening the barn door and letting all the animals come running through newly built homeowners associations willy-nilly, correct?
Oh, that's fair.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you.
It was suggested
as amended.
Yeah, there was. It was suggested that the language says up to two fainting goats or something, and the issue arose that when you have two goats, you do occasionally end up having more in the form of kids. So that maybe it would be more appropriate for to say two adult goats.
Well, the ordinance already says the number of animals that is listed says animals in excess of 4 months of age. In other words, so it allows someone to have kids and then get rid of them, which is highly recommended based on my own personal experience.
Item is not amended.
Doesn't Trump Griswold versus Connecticut? You can still have kids. Okay.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded for the ordinance as written by the staff. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. Thanks very much.
Thanks, staff, for all their clarification.
Can we possibly look at, this is my other question. Since it says permit and we determine the permit, can we discuss the idea of maybe having someone show the fact that they've been vaccinated? I mean, that's only due to the sort of the rabies.
How about this? What if we refer more generally the question to the staff ensuring that looking at whether we have the appropriate requirements on the books regarding protecting
the
public health? I'm not saying whether we have it. I'm saying whether we have the appropriate rules, the rules that we need to have. So we refer to the staff to take a look at that and report back to us at some point. Is there a motion for that?
So moved.
Second. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. The matter passes unanimously. Thanks very much. We look forward to hearing more
when the
about
chickens
that.
Come home.
And they will indeed.
This stuff is just laden with such opportunities. All right. C5, I believe.
Yeah, I just had a quick question about this item, and it had to do with the rotating record service providers. And I was just curious as to approximately how many are on that list and maybe where they're from. That's all.
There are about 5 or 6 currently on the list, and they're all in Orange County.
So really all I needed to know.
Well, for benefit of the public, there are about 5 or 6, and they're local. They're in Orange County.
Okay.
That was my question. All right. Is there a motion?
Move the item.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. Mr. Manager, presentation on proposed modifications to Head Start Build.
One second?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I wanted to thank Randy personally for she wrote a really great resolution urging our congressional delegation and our the boards in the area to support the president's health care reform, including the public option. And Randy's really taken the leadership on that, and I'd like to thank her for that.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
Comes with living with a senior citizen who can't get Medicaid. And Medicaid doesn't do enough.
I'll refer all the phone calls to you.
Yeah, too.
All right, Mr. Manager.
Okay. The purpose of this item is to provide a presentation to the board of two possible scenarios for modifications to the former Head Start classroom building at 102 Hargrave Street to accommodate the relocation of a community school for people under 6. James Harris has this item. James.
Good evening. We also have Anna Mercer McLean here. She's the executive director for community schools for people under six. And we have Wayne Roberts, the architect, here as well. Back in June, the board approved the town entering into a lease for community schools for people under six to lease the building, the old Head Start building down in Carr Court. In that lease, it requires that if they modify that building, they have to come before you to get permission to make those changes. They need to make those changes to meet the daycare standard requirements. So what we want to do tonight is to present to you two proposals. And I'm going to ask you to do something strange. I'm going to ask you if you would approve both of them, because they have to raise the money to make the improvements, the modifications. And based on how much money they raise, that's the option they'll choose.
I see.
Okay. So this is option number one. This is basically the building that is there now, but what they need to do is to go into the internal structure of the building. Matt, come here for a second. I've been on summer break, so I need orientation on this machine.
Since you're slightly over 35,
slightly, and technology, yeah. So basically, they want to change around the inside of this building, and what they want to do is to take the bathrooms and the community meeting room and make that into a nursery, and then make the bathroom smaller, take the kitchen out, move that, and then add a large Head Start room in the back, where it says 430 square feet back here, mm-hmm. and to give them enough space. Now, the ideal situation would be plan number two, which would really benefit us, because when I came to you with that proposal to lease to them, we wanted to still do some programming in the in that building. So option number two would add a second floor to the building, and that would be a 700 square foot room at the top. This would also require that an elevator be added to the plan as well, and there'll be some other closet and storage space up there as well. This option would cost $500,000. So we really want to cheer them on to do option two and to get this done.
So you're shaking your head?
She's in full agreement. We've talked about that. So this is the second option. So we're just asking if you would bless both options and give them the option of raising the money to make the improvements.
Thanks, James. Okay. Are there any questions for James or the architect? Anyone else?
Yes.
Just out of curiosity, the second floor wouldn't be classrooms. It would just be office and storage.
One large open space, 750 square feet.
Yeah.
And that would be open for community use. It'll have access from the outside on both ends. And the elevator would go up to.
I just remember hearing a long time ago, when we were talking about public school and elementary school plans, how very much against going a second floor the school system was. So I was wondering with this,
right,
will the second floor be education? It'll be community space as opposed to classroom space.
Yes. But, of course, they go up there and use it if they need
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because, you know, little kids can go up and down steps pretty fast. Yeah.
That they can.
Especially down.
Down, yeah. Even faster.
All right.
Move adoption.
Second.
Before we vote, I just want to say I used to live in the North Side neighborhood in Chapel Hill, and I was a neighbor both to the community school for people under six and to one of the teachers at the community school for people under six. And CSPU 6, I think, has been in our community for at least 30 years. 39 years, coming up on 40 years. It's been a tremendous resource for families in our community, and especially has reached out to lower income families in our community and provided a resource that no other preschool in our county has been able to provide. And really proud of this plan and proud to work with the community school for people under six. All right.
It's a very happy place.
It is.
I think adding that assembly space is a brilliant idea. It's a great way to bring people together in the community.
Could even rent it out.
Absolutely.
All right. Motions out there for to adopt both or approve both plans, and was seconded.
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. All right, thanks very much.
Thanks, James. Welcome back.
Yes. there is a request for a closed session. Before we do that, I just want to mention two things in public. One is this is our
something also.
Yeah, this is our first meeting since we received the notice from John Herrera, Alderman Herrera, that he has moved to Holly Springs and is resigning from the Board of Aldermen. I take it from individual conversations with some of you that most of the board, if not all of the board, feels that given we're only going to have a vacancy for a couple of months, that and the attorney advises us, the state law says we can make an appointment, but doesn't say when we have to, that we are probably not going to move forward with considering appointing somebody to that vacancy. Is that any disagreement about that? Okay. We will necessarily have a new member of the Board of Aldermen elected in November. We've known that at least one new member of the Board of Aldermen. We've known that for weeks, months. I think it would make sense for us to assume that we would probably we could go ahead and appoint whoever that new alderman is immediately following the election, rather than waiting necessarily until December. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that out there as a thought. All right.
Following that,
yes,
I do think we should have a mayor pro tem. And if
yes.
I understand our procedures correctly, we usually go in order of seniority of who hasn't done it yet.
That's correct.
Which would mean it's Randy's turn. Is that right?
Yes, that would be correct.
Jackie, is that not right?
You've been mayor pro tem. I've been mayor pro tem.
Sure.
Do you want to do it? Is that what you're thinking? Or since it's for a short term?
I don't care.
No, I mean, I don't mean to, like, step on your toe. I was just, you know, I didn't talk to anyone first. It's just my understanding of how we do it.
I don't want
to
be a mayor pro tem. Sorry,
but. Yeah, you haven't done it yet.
I haven't done it.
I trust you.
Short straw. I trust you.
I'm sorry, Jackie. I didn't know.
Okay. I think that has been our traditional.
Yes.
Or at least for the last, you know.
Last.
5, 10 plus years, how we've done this. So, would the board like to vote right now on that, or would you like to, or do we need to have it on our? Is it something that needs to be on a printed agenda?
No, you can.
No, I move we appoint Randy as mayor pro tem.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded that we appoint Randy Haven O'Donnell as mayor pro tem of the town of Carrboro. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You're really
all right.
Man, that's pretty good. Only like three.
Mark.
No. only you know, 3 years and 9 months into your service, and you get to be mayor pro tem.
Work moves very quickly through.
It's
this
a very
board.
Democratic kind of town.
Absolutely.
All right. Small D and big D. Okay. I have one other thing, which is September, the Assembly of Governments is supposed to meet next September 24th. And we are to be the hosts this time around. I think there was some discussion at the most recent past Assembly of Governments meeting to the effect that the primary topic would be about the future of library services in Orange County.
I thought that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be meeting sometime soon with the mayors, the other mayors, and the chair of the county commission, and we'll work on developing an agenda around that topic.
Great.
All right. Anything else before we consider a closed session?
We would need a motion to go into a closed session for two purposes, one, the acquisition of property, and the other, discussed litigation, town of Carrboro v. Keeley.
So moved.
All right.
Second.
We moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. If all the media and members of the public could step out of the room, we're going to meet in private with our town staff.